everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And I am so delighted to introduce you to our guest today. You're going to learn so much about him. And I actually met him at a webinar where he was speaking, but his name is Andy Fumafredo. He is the IT security manager for American Family Insurance, and he's got tons of information about cybersecurity. So I want everyone to pay attention because it's really, really, really important stuff. So thank you so much, Andy, for joining us today. I graciously appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Tell us the biggest thing that people don't realize about cybersecurity. I think there's some misunderstandings about how it can affect you. And sometimes we turn a blind eye. So can you kind of give us an overall of what we need to be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to use a lot of analogies when I talk about cybersecurity, especially if you're not in the industry or you're not a technical person like me or you know, in IT. And the way we like to word it is phrasing it like a house. So when we protect our companies, protect ourselves, we're like protecting a house. So the biggest thing I like to just to shine a light on for people is you don't need to know every little computer thing to be secure, right? You don't need to know every aspect of your email and how the internet works and how your computer works. It just takes simple practices. And so what I preach is, like everybody else, you know, if you leave your house, you lock your doors. Very similar. Make sure you're locking your computer when you walk away. You know, if you know you might have dropped your keys somewhere in the public, probably get some new keys, right? If you change your password every once in a while. So very common things that you can do to help with security. So I think a lot of people, when they get that down, I think it really helps them. So I usually start with helping people.
And just being aware, I think that's really, really important. But our company, back before COVID hit, we were hit with an email phishing scam. We lost $25,000. You know, it was difficult. I told my team at the time, I said, look, it's 25,000. It's not 25 million. So we go on, right? But it was very, very difficult and it was very stressful. And so the reason I bring that up is because this is something to be aware of as an individual and as a business person and as a business owner, right? Because I think everybody has to take a part in this. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. It starts from top down. If you're working in a company and you're a bit your owner, right? Your leadership doesn't care about security. Naturally, we're like, why should I, right? My job is my job. But if you come from a company and you have leadership that cares about those things to make sure we're doing the right things, then I think that comes in a little bit to our play. And a big thing that we like to say is patch your people, patch your systems, which means our people need to understand how security works and what they need to do to be secure. So it was a good call.
Right. And it's interesting because looking back after that, I was aware of everything. And we had, and I won't say who, but we had a new employee. And one day we were discussing this and she said, yeah, I took that off of my computer. And I said, why would you do that? And she said, well, it just came up. It was annoying me every day. And I was like, oh my goodness. And if you are a business owner and you've got 20 employees, do you go around and look at that, their computer every day? So that is, I mean, what is a good answer to that? Because that could happen to a lot of small business owners.
Yeah. And so, you know, assuming that they're taking something off their computer, like a file, let's just use this as an example. You know, we all deal with information. Some of that information is really, really sensitive with our customers and their personal information. Some of it's really, really sensitive for our business strategy and growing our company. And somewhere in the middle, right? Somewhere it may not be at that high level, but certainly we don't want our competitors or people to see it. If we have someone who, you know, we want them to understand protecting data is like protecting their company. And so we don't want to hand our personal information to our personal computers because our companies are here to help manage that. And it's really not our intellect. It's the companies. Right. And we have to remind ourselves that, you know, there's a lot of things we can do with our company to think to make our jobs easier, right? Sending a file to ourselves on our phone. But you got to think about this. Every time we send something somewhere, that's another way of someone that can intercept it or access it. And maybe that one file is not a big deal, but what if it's your payroll file? Yes. What if it's a file with passwords, right? So now you're talking like really, really sensitive information. So it's really good to know as you're working with stuff, how sensitive is that? How important is it to the company? And that's a big training exercise for employees to really understand.
Right. And another just, you know, personal issue that we really faced in the future was when you are working with manufacturers, whether they're in the US or overseas. You know, these are people that you need to even have insurance for, that when you make those transactions, and we, you know, we were new in the business, and so we did a wire transfer. Well, a wire transfer, once you do a wire transfer, it's gone, right? I mean, money's gone. It's hard to trace after that, right? So we've learned a lot of lessons, and I'm probably the most aware CEO out there that you'll find. But I did learn a lot. And one of the things that I made myself learn a lot, I'm a self-help junkie. I wanted to know everything and anything so that it didn't happen again. But I did learn what to look for in emails and the characters. And I'm sure you know this. So can you please review that and tell us kind of what to look for?
Absolutely. So as we get an email, you know, we see it, who it comes from, and we can kind of tell the subject line. And of course, they have all their information inside the email. Now, we're all busy. We all work through things. We glance through things as we're reading it. The important thing to highlight is make sure the person that is sending it is actually that same email from the company. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you work for a company like Amazon, right? And let's say in this case, they have an email, first name, last name, Amazon.com. But in this case, the person that emailed you is Amazon with a zero for an O. Now, maybe as we're reading things, we don't catch that because it's going very quickly. And that's that email you sent is not from, you know, your person at Amazon. It's somebody else pretending you're that person from Amazon. So the first thing I would say is always make sure that sender is someone you know, from a company you recognize. That's not good enough. Now, most emails nowadays are good enough about flagging, saying, hey, this is spam. This is not coming from who it says it is. And there's systems that do that checking. And the second thing is the links. So if they have a file that's going to be want you to be opened, if there is a link that they want to go to a website, a real trick that I like to use is instead of clicking on that link, hover over it with your mouse. Sometimes you get that little pop-up text below it, and it'll kind of give you what that link is actually going to, because it may say one thing, right? We all see that. It's like, click here. Just says click here. But the link takes you to a web page. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know where that web page is going. Don't let it take you to a place, like if you see a whole bunch of weird characters in there and weird websites, put it to the side. If that person really wants you to click on it, they'll email you or call you again. That's the way I always look at things. So the big thing is check who's coming in, and then you do that hovering over the link, or just making sure that whatever you're clicking on or file you're opening is coming from someone you trust. Those are the primary two things you can do.
Right. And, you know, we just learned something new just the other day on some of our listings. We had a person that gave us this tip. He said, if you take like the name of your product or whatever it might be, and you highlight it, and you open a new browser and you paste the link in there and see where it goes. And we found out that it was somebody else's product. So it's so, I mean, you know, we're very aware, and it still happens, right? It's as you and I were talking, there's no cure in terms of make sure you do this and you'll be safe. You always have to be aware. I think that's really, I don't think we can overstate that enough. It can happen to anyone.
Well, it's actually a tricky subject and a slippery slope, because we don't want to live our life in a state of paranoia. We kind of have to. We have to, you know, be conscious where we are, be aware of our surroundings, be aware of what we're doing. But we can't sit there and think every single thing that we're interacting with is something out to get us. Right. That's not going to help us, you know, with our businesses, our personal lives, to grow, to have those relationships. So it's a little bit of a healthy paranoia, where it's like a trust but verify situation. Most of the time, if I see emails, I'm not checking every single link, unless it's from an area I'd never really got an email before. Then I'm going to look a little more closely. But we're creatures of habit. We recognize patterns. And when you see that pattern, something's off in that pattern, is where your flag should go up in your head and say, I'm going to do some double checks here before I move on. So I guess I would say try to develop that spidey sense, saying, this isn't how I normally see things. Why is this different? And then kind of using that as your opportunity to dig further.
Right. And, you know, we are actually certified with WeBank, WSB, and DOBE. And so when we were meeting with individuals through the government, we would get all of these emails. And I said, it's so hard to understand. Is this coming from SAM.gov? Is this coming from, you know, you? How do I know this? And he said, you always look at the end. If it says, you know, .gov or .com or .ie or .inc, anything like that. If it's a different link, do not open it. And so that was, I was like, gosh, you know, thank you. I wish I'd known this 4 years ago, you know, but that's something that a lot of people don't even realize right there. So, but this podcast is all about things like this too, about how to be aware and to be more focused in your daily life. But I want to talk to you, Andy, just a little bit about you on a personal level. So you work for a very large company. You have a family. I'm sure you've had those days where you're not focused or, you know, you just don't, you're not there. You know, how do you focus in the morning, starting your day? And the last thing you want to do is really, you know, talk about cybersecurity or something that day, right? But how is it that you pull yourself together?
That's really good. And here's what I'll tell you. And I'll be a little vulnerable here and kind of speak about my past and kind of how things changed for me personally. And it kind of got me to a point where I feel is where I want to be. So but where I was, I've always been a person that could see things quickly. And of course, what let me complete my job a little quicker, right? So what I'm kind of saying is we would work hard during the week and then we kind of slack off a little bit on Thursday and Friday. And usually Fridays, you might leave a half day, but you always put in your effort in early on. Well, when COVID happened, right, and going in, one of the things I always enjoyed is dressing up for the role, because I was always taught, dress for the role you want, not for the role you have. And so I've always wore collar shirts. I've always worn slacks. Actually, if you guys saw me on camera today, I'm wearing a hoodie sweatshirt, which I almost never do. So when I'm meeting at work. Now, the reason why I have this mentality is because I feel when I dress the part, I perform well. You know, the old saying, dress how you feel or dress who you want to be. That's exactly what comes in. So when COVID happened and we're in cybersecurity, you say, go home. You're going to work from home until the foreseeable future. So we're all packing up. We're all going home. Not the first day, but maybe the second day. I was like, I don't want to sit here in meetings, especially when I'm meeting with people outside the company, in a t-shirt, even though it's very acceptable to do nowadays. So I made it a habit every single morning to wear my normal work clothes. So I'd wear slacks, sometimes jeans, but usually slacks and a collared shirt. And I would do that every single day. I still do that to this day. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it puts me, I may wake up and it's like, I don't want to deal with work today. I don't want to go to work. I just give me some coffee. I'm going to stay on the couch. I'm going to go for a bike ride, whatever it is. But when I put the clothes on, then I kind of get that confidence side of me, say, I got some things I got to get done today. This is what my team's expecting out of me. This is what my company's not expecting out of me. That mindset drives me and it provides a lot of passion in my job because I know people are depending on me to explain things or help with things. And I know I'm making a difference. And that's what the driver is. So if I were to give like the one piece of advice for people who are always struggling to get going in the morning, dress the part. Even if you're not going into work, sometimes the going through that motion puts you in that great perspective to help, you know, brighten up your day and help you move forward when you're having those troubles getting going.
That is so perfect because I did that for years and years. And I always say, do what works for you. Right. And so for me, I was the same way. So I would get up and I would just, you know, even if I was going to, you know, down the hall, I had to have my mindset in the right place to do a great job. Right. Because nobody's going to stand there and say, come on, Andy, you know, let's go. You've got to meet this deadline. You're kind of on your own at that point. So I think that's really true. So now that COVID, are you back in the office now? Or are you part time or are you still remote?
They're part time. So our company, American Family, they rule that they want us there 10 days a month, which is what kind of the benchmark. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'll tell you, everybody, is this, because it's a hot topic in our industry, especially if you're in a technology, even business owners, because they're going to have to deal with employees who are debating this. And here's what I'll tell you. The most important thing is not necessarily being in office. It's having meaningful conversations. And if I'm on Zoom all day or web meetings all day, I probably don't need to go in the office. But if there's a big collaboration meeting where we're trying to develop a new idea or solve a really hard problem, I know from experience that being face-to-face someone helps you push through those conversations because those conversations are tough sometimes. And it's much harder to avoid those conversations when you're face-to-face rather than remote. So that's a really big part of it. You know, just making sure as you think about hybrid, my slogan is you do you. As long as we can work together, you can do whatever you want. But remember those moments that the face-to-face still really does help in moments when you're trying to have, come over those obstacles.
Right. And, you know, it happens even in our company. If I need something quickly, I might go to the person that's here, right? Just to get that decision made versus having a full, you know, Zoom meeting. And not to leave those people out, it's just that I need that at that particular time. So if you are present, if you're in the office and you're there, those are opportunities that you don't want to miss out on. Even if you're not there all the time, make a presence. And I would say, don't take advantage.
Right. And personal relationships.
Yes.
You know, I'll be honest, and this is me. I can talk to people online all day long and feel fine, but I don't really connect with people unless I see them face to face. That's my thing. So I always encourage people to think about that. I mean, it's in January, I was stuck in my home for 30 days because I got COVID again, but then I also had to work. And
did you? Yeah.
Yeah. And so for 30 days, you basically have no contact with the outside world. I say that in jest. I actually have a family too, but what happens is that by the end of that 30 days, I needed to get out of this house. I could not stay here any longer. And it's that personal contact I needed. That's the important part. So
yeah, I'm so glad that you made it through that, because that's, you know, frightening. A lot of people, you know, had that. I fortunately did not. So I kudos to you on getting through that and really protecting yourself. I think that's so important. And I think we forget to say that. It's interesting. The other thing I wanted to ask you as well is, you know, when you work for a big company, sometimes it's hard to make a presence, or you feel like you get lost in the company. And I did want to ask you, you know, how is it working for a bigger company that you can still be a part and make a name for yourself and grow with the company? Well, I mean, if you had any advice for anyone out there, what would you say?
The best thing I can tell you is use the phrase, help me help you. And what I mean by that, and we all have a role, we all have a primary responsibility to do certain things, but we also have to work with other departments who need us for certain reasons. We all can say, sorry, I'm too busy, can't help you. But what I've learned is if I want to drive change in my organization, I want to see things improve, the best way I can do that is helping those who are asking for help or need the help, because there's a moment when it comes in where that helps me move a message forward. So anybody who's looking to move up, it's not about having all the shiny trophies. It's not about being on every project. It's nothing about that. It's not just doing your job. It's about building relationships. And there was one thing that a mentor of mine, Prashant, actually told me at one point. And that was, you know, when you get to a certain level in a company, let's say you're moving from the ground floor, right? You start maybe as a junior analyst in a company and you want to move up, right? When you start getting into a leadership type role, especially you're talking management, director, vice president, it's not good enough just to do a good job once you get past manager. You have to build connections. And that's the most important thing. And that was actually a bitter pill I had to swallow for a few years, because I was a person that believed I always did a good job. I always did my job hard, and I always made sure that whatever I produced was what my people I, you know, who asked for it wanted. That did not help me at the end when they were downsizing many moons ago. And what happened though was one person who I had a really good relationship with helped me get my next job, which actually got me into management eventually. So it was that relationship who vouched for me because of what I did. And so I will never move up unless I build those relationships and the trust within my leadership. So that's a big part of it. So cultivate those relationships. Really important.
That's really, really great advice. So I could talk to you all day. Andy, I think you're such a great wealth of information. Our listeners will write in questions, and I have a feeling they'll ask me this later. So I want to ask it now. How do you know which antivirus companies to look for? And I know you probably can't say which ones, but what should you look for and what should you steer away from? Because it's really hard to know individually and also as a company, and especially a small business owner, right? So do you have any advice on that?
Yeah. So first off, there's a few ways to go about that review. So normally, I kind of call it levels of due diligence, right? How far do you want to go to do this research? If you're just looking for one that's going to be okay, you know, you can kind of handle your stuff, reset your passwords, you're not sharing it, I would say, and I might get a little bit of backlash from this from my security folks, just use like Windows, right? Windows has its own protection, and it's not bad. I'm not going to say it's the best out there, but it's not bad. And as long as you have secure practices, it's going to cover what you need. Now, if you want something a little bit more, you know, it's going to, you know, you want to have that extra layer of protection, any of the really big products, McAfee, you know, Norton, Kaspersky, they're going to cost you a little bit more, but they also come with some extra bells and whistles that do a little bit more protection. And then you have that peace of mind that you don't have to have that extra level of vigilance. So what I would say is you can't go wrong with the big companies, because generally they're going to have their products and they're going to have people and teams supporting that product. And they usually keep their updates going, which is what you want. You want your antivirus to be updating very frequently, because things change every day. If you want to do the research, you can, what I usually do is just go to websites. I'll be honest, I've used Reddit before, because there's a lot of security people on Reddit and they give you a lot of good information. I go to Bleeping Computer, which is more technical, but they'll give you your words. But there's also ones like, PC Magazine, a little bit more consumable. I would say do the research, and you'll see out of all those places you go and do all the research, they generally say the top three or four or five, they're all the same. So that's when you know, if you pick the top five, you're generally going to be okay. I don't have one specific product I would recommend. I think there are strengths and weaknesses to every product.
Yes.
My thing is, find one that's cost effective for you. If you're okay spending the money, go ahead and invest it. If money's tight and you're really on a budget to run your company, it's okay to use the Windows ones, but just know you're going to have to make sure you reset your passwords. Don't share those out. Follow those common principles.
And so I want to get really basic here for a second. So some people, may not be very technical at all. And they think, how do I update my Windows, right? So I'm going to tell you how I do it, and hopefully it's right. But just in Windows, you just go to your Cortana spacebar, right? And you can just type in Windows Update, and it will take you and it will show you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. There are other things. For instance, Lenovo. I love their computers. And if you click on the bottom right-hand side, sometimes they'll have Lenovo Vantage. They will say, check how your computer's running. And then it will say, check how you're protected, right? And then we have a lot, but we have our antivirus. And so what we do then is, I always say, and as I was telling you, I have it on our calendar every 2 weeks that people need to run their software on a full scan on their computer, because it just can't hurt. So I think that's really, really, really good advice. And again, people don't realize regarding the phone. So are you protected when you are using your phone, for just an overview answer, not, don't feel you have to say technical issues?
Yeah. So here's where I could get really, really in depth and really geek out a lot of things with the phone, but here's where I'll kind of leave it. So there's three major things you should think about with the phone. One is, make sure the apps you're downloading are coming from your Apple Store or your Google Store. iTunes. Actually, I changed that. See, that's how bad I am. But make sure it comes from the trusted stores. Because if it comes from there, then you have a level expectation that those applications were scanned, there's nothing malicious going on.
Yeah.
So in theory, nothing should happen, right? But there's also a lot of things that people can still exploit your phone. In the world of security, there are we call it malicious software, malware, that can be installed without you even being, without you knowing. And they can take over your phone. Now, that's not going to be your common everyday bad guy. These are countries. These are groups of criminals that are looking to do something. And usually those are more political based. They're looking to gather information, journalists, stuff like that. So it's not, we always say, what's the likelihood of the threat and what's the impact of the threat? That's the risk side of the house. So I would say the impact is big. We don't want our personal information being spilled out. The likelihood of you being targeted like that is very low. So managing to that risk helps. So what I would say is, like anything else, I always recommend having your a passcode or password on your phone. No exceptions. Most phones nowadays, they're encrypted. And I know that sounds like, well, how do I do all this? It comes that way. The thing is those things are what keeps you safe. And what I would recommend always is, and I know this sounds like a broken record, but as long as your passwords update every once in a while, as long as you're not, downloading applications that from strangers, right, and putting on your phone, you're generally okay. And again, don't click on strange links, right?
And update your software, right, on your phone.
And updates. And actually, that's a good, Angela, there's one thing I want to mention with that. And you said something really, really important about updating your system. So I work in IT, and I've been here for 25 years. And I'll tell you, I love technology. I started that there when I was a kid and loved it the whole way through. I will not go out and manually update my stuff. There's no way. I have, I'm a little bit techier, right? So I got not just my router coming in. I got my computers. I got my IoT devices, like my cameras and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I would go insane trying to update that every single month. There's so many things going on. automatic updates. The worst that happens with automatic updates is they usually deploy the real scary security stuff that they want you to fix pretty quickly. Maybe something happens and something breaks in a moment, but they usually fix it really quickly. But that's the ebb and flow of what you need to think about when you're managing your company or managing yourself. Me personally, I'm okay taking a little bit of a downtime if something happens. It doesn't happen very often. I think it happened like twice in 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I have a peace of mind knowing that all of my devices are all patched. So all these things in the wild that are exploiting these computers to take advantage or ransomware, we've heard that, right? Taking over your company and locking it down. It's much harder to do that when those exploits aren't there for bad guys to take advantage of.
Absolutely. So automatic patch. And you can set that to do it at midnight. So when you're sleeping and you don't have to worry about it. So, and I would say this, if you do not know how to do this, find a young person, find your grandson, niece, nephew, seriously. And they can show you how to do it because sometimes you have to set that up. And if it's not set up, you don't know. And if you need to back up your phone, again, ask somebody young, they can help you. They're the, you know, that's the best advice I can give. So again, Andy, I could talk to you all day, but I have one last question that I ask everybody. And, you know, we're all human. And so we all have our off days. So let's say you are having just one of those days and you get in your car and you're driving to that meeting, but you are just, you're not yourself, right? So what is the music or the artist or the genre that you listen to that gives you game on?
So that's a great question. And what I'll tell you is the answer, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a story why on it. So my answer is from the musical Hamilton, My Shot. That's one of them. And the other one is Guns and Chips. Now, here's the reason why. I was growing up, I was heavy metal and rocking out. That was me for my whole life. One day we sat down and I think it was the Disney Plus came out with the musical. They showed it. And we sat down, and when I watched it, something clicked in me, and I realized how special that actually was. And for me, I look at this like, this is a masterpiece. It's speaking to me. It's funny. It fits everything in my life, and it reflects a lot of things in my life. But what I found was a lot of those songs, they really contributed to aspects of my life, different pieces, struggles with, you know, my work, growing a family, the struggles of growing a family, dealing with overbearing boss, all that stuff, right? So we've all had those in our life. And so there isn't a week that goes by, and this week especially, that I haven't sat down on a speaker. I just throw a few songs on and I'll just sit there and listen to it. And it gets me in a better mental state. And what I do is I listen to the song and I apply it to my situation. Like My Shot's the perfect one. So we all push so hard to grow and build what we've started with, right? Whatever that means to us. Like for me, that's growing my family. That's establishing stuff in my career. It's doing things like this. But there are times where it's just tough to keep it going because it's just every day, and cybersecurity is always a struggle. I think about throwing away my shot. I'm like, I've done so much to build this. Why would I ever want to stop that now? Why would I have that one moment disable or just really break down that moment? So I like to say that because, you know, my wife and kids will probably listen to this and you're like, I knew that I was going to say that, but it's for a reason. And they'll tell you too. There's times where they hear me play it and it changes my attitude because it lets me refocus. And I am not throwing away my shot.
I love that. And I always say music is, that's why we ask that question, because music can bring you up. It can bring you down. It can keep you calm. It can bring you in touch with your emotions, right? So that's why I love it. And I love all kinds of music. So, but this has been great, Andy. I just thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. And I know for a fact that you are already helping people out there that didn't know some of these things. And I felt it was so important. That's why I reached out to Andy immediately and said, I've got to have you on our podcast because I've been through this and I just want to help others. So I graciously thank you for being on today.
Hey, you have a great message. I love your podcast and your subject and what you're after. And it's been my honor to be part of this. And I'm more than happy to, as if someone does have questions, they want to touch base and just say, hey, what about this? that's my passion. I just want to help people understand. So thank you, Angela, for letting me be part of that.
You're welcome. And we'll put his contact information on our website. So thank you again. In today's fast-paced world, maintaining focus can be a challenge. For those dealing with ADHD, it's even more crucial. Hardy Nutritionals presents Daily Essential Nutrients, a groundbreaking, non-habit-forming alternative to mainstream treatments. Imagine a day with crystal clear focus, natural energy, and an improved mood. That's what Daily Essential Nutrients offers. It's not just another supplement. It's a scientifically backed, comprehensive micronutrient formula. So what sets it apart? Independent studies. Hardy Nutritionals Daily Essential Nutrients is backed by third-party, double-blind research demonstrating its effectiveness in reducing symptoms of ADHD. Forget about unwanted side effects. Daily Essential Nutrients is designed to work with your body, providing balance and support for your brain's natural chemistry. It's time to focus on what matters most. With Hardy Nutritionals, you're not just getting a supplement, you're getting a foundation for better mental health. So visit GetHardy.com to learn more and take the first step towards a focused, healthier you with Hardy Nutritionals Daily Essential Nutrients. Use the code TIME, the number 2, REFOCUS. So T-I-M-E, the number 2, REFOCUS in the promo code area. And they're going to give you a discount on your first order when you sign up. So check them out at GetHardy.com.